If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 21. As we continue our message series, Tomorrowland, and look at what Jesus says tomorrow is for us. Look at what the future holds for us as we follow Jesus. And really importantly, as we know how to live today based on our hope for tomorrow. And as you find your place, it's both in our bulletins and it'll be on the overhead as well. Here are Luke's words. Some of his disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the wall. But Jesus said, "The time is coming when all of these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." "Teacher," they asked, "when will all this happen? What sign will you show us that these things are about to take place?" He replied, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and saying, 'The time has come,' but don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately." And then he added, "Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines and plagues in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. But before all of this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into the synagogues and prisons. You will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, they will betray you. They will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls." It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've been talking about tomorrow. And as a follower of Jesus, what does it mean for us? Last week, we talked about the idea that tomorrow is not some fancy la-la land. It's not this place that is by and by and all things and all your dreams are answered. It's not something where Jesus comes and just whisks us away. No, our hope in tomorrow through Jesus Christ is so much better than that. A lot of us, as followers of Jesus, see heaven as an escape. Oh, I endure during this life and then I get to escape. It's like a vacation to Disneyland. Whoo, it's great and everything and all of these dreams are there. But the reality is, as we study Scripture and see what Jesus taught and more importantly, what Jesus did, our hope for tomorrow is so much better. Our hope for tomorrow is resurrection. Is all of this being made new and restored. It's the fact that the tomb, the grave, even cremation has no power over us if we are in Christ. Our tomorrow is filled with hope, and we can live that today if we trust in Christ. This is what he taught his followers, and this is what he demonstrated on Easter morning. But the reality is, that's a hard thing for us to fathom. I've never seen a resurrected person. Have you? I think it'd really freak me out if I did. I mean, the reality is, that's something that's not in our daily lives, and so choosing to live that way, choosing to apply that truth on a daily basis seems really foreign, seems really hard. In fact, I know some of you, as we talked after the service, you've struggled, we've struggled with how do I really live resurrection on a daily basis? How do I endure the daily demands, the challenges that come before us with resurrection in mind? Because it just seems so distant. Well, today, as we read Jesus' encounter with his disciples in front of the temple, we have an opportunity to learn. We have an opportunity to see what it is to live a resurrection life in the midst of great trial and great difficulty. You know, Jesus is talking end of the world with his disciples. He's talking the end of times. And many of us feel like that could be tomorrow anyway. You know, if you read Facebook, depending on who you want to vote for, the other person is going to bring about the end of the world, right? I mean, we're just certain of it, no matter who you want. That's the mentality on both sides. And we're all hunkering down and bunkering in, ready to fight and slug it out. I mean, this is one of the nastiest elections I can recall. And the reason is we're so passionate on either side. And we're certain tomorrow could be the end if the other person gets in. But many of you would recall back, I think it was August 11th, 1988. Do you remember that date? Does that date stand out in your mind? Back then, that was when somebody, I believe it was Hal Lindsey, predicted that the world was going to come to the end. And a lot of people sold a lot of their things and made some bold steps, figuring they got to escape on August 11th, 1988. And I'll confess, my parents did. My mom and dad had never bought a new vehicle. And it was time for us to upgrade. We had three kids and no air conditioning, and we needed air conditioning. She was certain of it. And so she knew August 11th, 1988 was just around the corner, and she figured, what the heck? Let's go buy a new vehicle. And so we did, our first new vehicle ever as a family. And I can't tell you her disappointment when August 12th came around. But we have that mentality sometimes as followers of Jesus, don't we? That we're just going to get up and escape. And I love this passage because I can only imagine what was going on in the disciples' minds. They're walking through the temple and they're looking at this incredible building that took generations, decades to build. The stones were enormous. The labor so intensive. And the result was absolutely glorious. This temple stood on the hill and could be seen shining with the light beaming against it from miles around. People came to marvel at the great temple, and the disciples, they're walking past it and they're marveling. They're going, wow, look at this. And to that conversation, Jesus says the most outlandish thing. Yeah, these huge stones, they were as big or bigger than our cars and our box trucks. These huge stones, oh, they're going to all fall away. This great man-made thing that you think is so impressive, one day soon, it's going to be gone. And I can't imagine what the disciples were thinking. I kind of imagine their jaw dropping just a little bit. And then I believe, because I know us, and I don't mean you specifically, I know people, they probably had one of two responses. One is when they start picturing when that's going to happen, and when they ask Jesus, when is this coming? They bunker down. They build their bunkers and they start storehousing all of their goods. And some of us do that. We start making sure we have enough, that when difficulty comes, we're provided for. You know, I'll confess, I don't know what's going to happen after this election, but I kind of regret the fact that I don't live in Franklin, North Carolina anymore, because there was some hope. There were lots of bunkers, lots of ammo, and who's going to go up to the mountains anyway? I was safe up there if everything imploded. But now here we are down in the mix. A lot of people have that mentality. When worry and struggle come, whether it's the end of the world or not, we build our bunkers. We start stockpiling for ourselves, just in case. Or they might have had the other view, and this is what I see with a lot of people who follow Jesus as well. They might have said, Jesus, when is it? Because I'm with you, and I'm safe, and I want to get my popcorn and watch. I know nothing bad is going to happen to me. It's going to be a fun show. I want to watch. And honestly, the opposite of having that bunker mentality is an escape mentality, where I think it doesn't matter how bad it gets, I get to leave. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. Jesus is going to come. He's going to pluck me out. And I get to watch from a safe distance. And so I can only imagine the shock the disciples have, and probably your gut as I read these words, that said some crazy, crazy things. Like, here's what it is to follow Jesus as the end comes. But before all of this occurs, there'll be a time of great persecution. Oh, so I need to build my bunker. No, they'll come for you. You're to be living it out. You'll be dragged into synagogues and prisons. You'll stand trial before kings and governors. Even your closest, those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, they will betray you. They will even kill some of you. How many of you are going, hey, Jesus, right now? That doesn't sound good. Is that the hopeful tomorrow we come to believe as followers of Jesus? That sounds darn right terrifying. And the reality is we can project that reality decades, centuries, or a few months into the future. But many of us feel that way right now. We're going through circumstances in our lives where we feel like everything is falling apart, where family maybe is betraying us, where others are pushing against us, where we don't know how we're going to take care of ourselves today, let alone tomorrow. And we have a natural response. It's called fear. It's called worry. How many of you are professional worriers and you know how to fear really well? We practice that a lot. And I want you to know that's natural, that's normal, that's a human response, that's a gut level response. It's a gut level, natural response to incomplete stories and unpracticed faith. Worry and fear are natural responses to an incomplete story and unpracticed faith. Here's what I want you to know. Here's what Jesus wanted his disciples to know. Even as he said, oh, by the way, everybody's going to come against you and some of you are going to die. There's this little verse, this little sentence immediately following. If you're my followers, you're going to get betrayed. They're not going to like you. They're going to hate you. He says this. But not a hair on your head will perish. Right after he says, some of you will die, he says, but not a hair on your head will perish. And I got to confess, at first glance, that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? At first glance, Jesus, you just said some people are going to die. That might be me. But not a hair on my head is going to perish. How does that work out? And the only way we can connect those ideas, the only way we can understand how Jesus could have confidence on the cross and how you and I can have confidence no matter what we're struggling with, no matter what is coming against us, no matter what is causing us to worry and fear, is to complete the story. And Jesus, with that statement, was completing the story. He said, yes, Fridays will come where they beat you and they nail you to the cross, where they rip out your hair. Jesus, he's hung on the cross. They had ripped his skin off his back with the cat of nine tails. They had yanked his beard out of his face. He was a bloody mess, and you and I, we've felt that way before at times, and we're wondering, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? But Jesus is saying, but not a hair on your head will perish, because Fridays happen. But I heard a great preacher say this one time. But Sunday's coming. Sunday, where that same Jesus rose from the tomb, where he was resurrected and fully renewed. Not a hair on his head had perished. The full story is they can do whatever they want right now. And we need not fear. Because the complete story says if we are in Christ, we will rise up. We will be renewed. The tomb isn't the last statement. The resurrection is. And so when you fear, when you worry, remember the whole story. And the second thing I think really applies to our worry and fear is how we live day to day. Something Jesus says a little later in this passage as he's talking with his disciples is this: watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. Don't become dull. You know what I take that to mean? Live it today so you're ready for it tomorrow. Practice obedience today so when the big game comes, you're ready to play. There's a lot of Carolina Panthers fans in here. How many of you love the Carolina Panthers or Carolina UNC? I mean, how many of you were watching that game? There we go. You were watching them beat Miami yesterday. And many of you want to make sure I don't preach long. You're like, that game begins at 1. Let's go. If I gave you the opportunity to go and put on a Carolina uniform and step out onto that field on game day, how many of you would love to have that opportunity? I'm a huge Steelers fan. I mean, if somebody came up and said, Matt, here's your uniform, here's the pads, go stand on the sidelines, your number might be called. I would love that. I would jump at that opportunity. But there's a problem. If my number got called, I'll get creamed. I think I'm strong, but I understand my limitations. A 300-pound, 6'8" lineman is going to clean my clock, and I might not get back up. But do you know why? Because that 6'8", 300-pound lineman, or that 5'10", 200-pound running back or receiver, has spent his life preparing for that moment. From the time he was a little boy until the time he stepped onto that field, he practiced daily, readying himself for the game. You know what? They don't keep score on the practice field. They don't keep score in the weight room. They only keep score out on the field. But the way you score is by what you do on the practice field and what you do in the weight room. That makes perfect sense to us, doesn't it? And so for you and I, when we think about these big moments, when we think about the big challenges that will face us, and can I follow Jesus? Can I say yes to Jesus? Can I answer their questions about Jesus? When the game time is happening, the way we not worry about game time is to practice daily. When we say yes to Jesus in the little things, it creates within us confidence that when I have to say yes on the big things, Jesus will be there. When I'm worried that I won't survive in the big things, I learn that I will by taking the little steps day in and day out. That's how we live for tomorrow. That's how we live in preparation for the resurrection. Do worry and fear, no matter what the circumstances, have a grip on you? Let me encourage you. Remind yourself of the whole and complete story. Remind yourself of the whole gospel. How do we do that? You're doing it right now. Sunday mornings, come in, worship with us on a regular basis, and hear the whole story. Hear the hope we have in Christ. When we take communion, we remind ourselves of the whole story of God's grace and God's love for us, of our hope for tomorrow. Remind yourselves regularly. Here's another great tip and tool. Have devotion every morning. You know, we have one in your bulletin you can use, or just take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, once a day, to just dive into a little scripture, reminding yourself of who God is and who you are to God. Spending a little bit of time in prayer every day, remembering that God is with you. You know what happens when you do that? You start building some muscle memory. You start building some soul memory. How many of you have lived in wherever you're living for so long that if the power goes out and it's dark, you could most likely get up and walk around your house without banging against something? You know, my wife and I, we've lived in the Parsonage now for a little over a year, and chances are, if the lights weren't on, if I had to wake up and go out into the kitchen, I could make my whole breakfast with my eyes closed. You just start going through the motions, don't you? And your memory serves you well. How many of you have ever driven from one place to another so many times? Maybe it's where you work or to your school, that one time you drive home and you're like, how did I get here? I remember what happened. It's because the drive has become so routine, you just do it instinctively. It's second nature. Remind yourself daily of the story. And then the next one, practice obedience regularly, daily. And trusting God will become second nature. It'll just happen. You'll know what to say yes to and what to say no to. You'll know how to share your faith, because you have built in muscle memory. I'll tell you, one of the ways you want to hear God speak in difficult times, memorize scripture. I can't tell you how many times when I'm faced with a difficult question, God speaks to me by recalling a scripture I read at just the moment, at just the right time. And the last thing is this. You want to really set yourself up to not worry and fear? Don't just follow Jesus and be a disciple, but start making disciples. Choose to train someone else up in the faith. Because a crazy thing happens when you start setting yourself up as a worthy example of Christ to follow. You start making sure you're a good example of Christ to follow. How many of you have ever taught Sunday school or a small group or a Bible study of some sort? I know we got a few teachers in here. Would you say this truth applies to you? Because I've heard so many say it. I learned more than I think my students did. When you take that responsibility on, you go deeper in your own faith. You gain more confidence in Christ on a daily basis. And so remind yourself, practice it daily, and make a disciple. Share Christ with somebody and walk with them. There is such hope for us. Jesus wants us to know resurrection wins. It's your trump card. No matter what happens, no matter what happens to you, it will all be made new. And so fear disappears as we live in God's grace and the victory Jesus already claimed. I already gave a football analogy, so I'll close with one more. Some games are decided in the final minutes, and we sit on the edge of the seat and we bite our towel and we worry and we scream. But some games are over by the first quarter, aren't they? and you just enjoy watching the third stringers go in and play because you hope for the future. With the empty tomb, the game is already decided. Don't worry. Don't fear. Remind yourself of that truth daily, and your fear will disappear. Christ won. Go celebrate that today. Amen.